You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Good morning and welcome to this week's bits. This week we looked into a new ad that came out addressing the use of the word gay. We also looked into the term takatapui and then also had a look at what was going on in Catalonia and the independence referendum. First, let's hear the ad produced by Rainbow Youth that addressed how using gay as a flippant exclamation can do more damage than we might think.
Oh, gay.
Actually, Nigel, that's not gay at all. It's deeply disappointing, but it's not gay.
Hey?
Look, bro, unless that pie is a man who loves another man, then it's not gay.
Or a woman who loves another woman.
Thank you, Muzza. Steve's gay.
Steve's not gay. Steve, you're not gay, are you?
Quite gay.
We then heard BFM reporter Will talk with BFM's Lillian Hanley to discuss the video and the use of the word gay.
Well, there's this cultural sort of aversion to it that has been around a long time, but I do definitely think that is changing. And this is why, I mean, I was really happy to see this ad because even in high school, so maybe like, I don't know how many years, seven or so years ago, that I was surrounded by kids that used gay as either an insult or just a word that defined something as shit, like it was just bad, lame, not cool, that is gay. And I had to fight against it for a long time because I knew that that was wrong, or at least to me that was wrong. And I had been like raised by quite strong parents who, you know, gave me ways to argue against it and the language to kind of explain why that was problematic, all of these things. So I spent years and years basically arguing with friends and trying to get them to think differently about it, to the extent that actually one of my best mates, he would always use it, and now he refuses to use it and also speaks to other people about using it. So trying to get people to change their mindset, and that's exactly what this ad is doing, really.
Yeah, I feel like one of the justifications a lot of people use as well is, oh, it's just a word, I'm just using it, you know, it doesn't matter, it's not hurting anyone. But like Definitely. You say, when you use it in a sense that's saying that's gay as in that's bad, then it immediately associates homosexuality with a bad thing. And that's, even though it's not directly insulting anyone, maybe it will, but maybe it won't as well, it's still perpetrating this idea that it's inherently bad to be gay.
Exactly. So it's kind of out of your hands, actually, how people will respond to it, right? So even if you do not intend to offend anybody, and even if you're, oh, I'm fine with gay people, that's what you're hearing, or my friends are gay, it's fine, I can like say it because the meaning has changed.
Yeah.
That doesn't really, that, no. I just say no, because actually it's not for you to define what that word is, and it's not for you to define or state how somebody is going to respond to, or how somebody's going to feel about that, actually. But the word, in terms of saying that the word gay has changed, right, or just the context of it, all of that sort of thing, I understand the argument, but I don't think that it actually matters, in the sense that the fact of the matter is, culturally, this word has been used as a way to demean somebody, and the power in that, the power that you have as somebody of perhaps a majority group that uses this word, that may not actually be a part of that group that uses this word, that is more detrimental to the group and to the people that it affects, that you should be more thoughtful around. Like, just don't, what, like, what's the point in using
it? Just
there are plenty
not.
Of other much more articulate words you can use to describe dropping your pie. So it's about being careful with your words. Words are really powerful.
Just
actually.
Be nice, everyone.
It's interesting, actually. Can I like keep going a bit, Will? Is that all right?
For sure.
There's a saying in English, right, where it's like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Yeah.
In Māori, there's actually a whakatauke which says that, I don't know it actually in Māori, but basically the meaning of it is that you can dodge a taiaha, right? You can defend yourself against a physical attack, but how can you defend yourself against words, right? So this is completely different worldview one. But thinking about that in this context, I think that's quite relevant.
That's pretty cool.
Dr. Elizabeth Kirikiri and Green candidate for Ikaroa Rafiti argues that pre-colonial Māori were sexually experimental people who openly accepted gender and sexual fluidity. Anyone who didn't fit into heterosexuality was considered takatapui. We spoke with Kirikiri to discuss takatapui and its place in the past and present for Māori.
It's an ancient Māori word. It was found in the writings of Te Rangi Kaheke, who wrote in the early 1800s, but it's and from the story of Hinemo Tutanikai and Siki, it means intimate companion of the same sex. So it was found about 30-odd years ago in those writings, and it was then kind of given to our communities to use. So in my work and my advocacy and in my writing, I am promoting the use of the term as that. It's a reclaimed term which we use to embrace all Māori with diverse sexes, genders, sexualities and sex characteristics. So that includes everybody who's lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex and queer. So the short answer is all Māori who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex and queer.
It's cool. So, I mean, you say that you're reclaiming the term. Was it? How long has this term been around for?
Centuries.
Right.
The story of Hinemo and Tutanikai is dated around the 1300s. So it's an old, old term.
So how does it fit in to the story of Hinemo and Tutanikai?
So when Hinemo and Tutanikai got together, he already had a type of relationship with his best friend, Siki. And when Hinemo and Tutanikai got together, he said that he was missing him. He was dying for love for his hua takatapui, his takatapui friend. And so there's kind of two major things we take from them. One, it's a form of endearment as opposed to an identity. So we're not saying that people back in that time or ever since said, I'm takatapui, therefore I'm this or that. Not at all. We're taking it from that place. So that when that occurred, when he used that term, and he went to his father to say that, they arranged for his best friend then to marry Hinemore's sister so that they could all be together. And so it was, yeah, we're taking from it that it clearly is a type of a term of endearment, close to whaiaipo, which means like sweetheart, darling, but clearly it's specifically for people of the same sex.
It's cool. I mean, when I was like a kid and we were taught about the story, we were never taught about that aspect of it. I mean, why do you think that is?
Oh, I think, I mean, Hinemo Tutanikai, it's one of the greatest love stories. Mm. And so there's all sorts of reasons for it, that they want to keep just that part of it. Mm. And
I mean, I guess it's important looking forward, yeah, probably to teach it.
To takatapui. And so the, well, I suppose that would be a decision for, I think it's part of a broader discussion that says, and part of my work is recognising that a lot of this subject matter, the stories were suppressed as part of the suppression of sexuality generally. The fact that we were sex positive and all the records from the first contacts in this country prove that. And so there's been a lot of things and a lot of stories that have been covered over, deleted, changed over time. And so I guess this is just a small part of that, the same sex, the gender fluidity, also hidden. And a big part of this, gradually we love for that to be in the mainstream, and that's just a normal thing that's taught in school, along with the treaty and, you know, universal te reo. For a lot of my work is within our own communities, to especially in the area of suicide prevention and identity, where especially our young people are trying to figure out who they are in relation to being Māori, in relation to being diverse. And so the key thing that I want to be able to show is actually we have been around for centuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Our behaviour, who we are, is a key part. It's just a normal part of being Māori. And these terms, the more we can find little suggestions and little things, because we know it was changed and hidden, we have to go searching for them. And I guess that's what I wanted to be able to do. And the reason I did it as a PhD was to provide a base of evidence, but also to have the full backing behind the universal, the institution. behind my findings. The Māori Department at Victoria, they're saying, actually, yep, this is solid and real research. So for the people that want to turn around and go, I don't think it means that, it's going, you're welcome to your opinion.
Catalan went to the polls last Sunday to vote in their referendum to become independent from Spain. However, things did not go to plan and the Spanish government tried everything to stop the vote from happening. A lot went on and a lot of damage and violence erupted from this. Sam Smith filed a report on what all went down.
Violence has erupted on the streets of Barcelona as Catalonia went to the polls to vote in a referendum on whether to stay with Spain or secede and become independent. Police confronted people in the streets with batons, and things turned ugly very quickly, with over 700 people injured in skirmishes.
Riot police have broken into polling stations and confiscated ballot boxes as part of a huge operation to stop a controversial independence referendum going ahead in the northeastern region of Catalonia. Catalan officials have accused the police of unjustifiable violence after officers reportedly fired rubber bullets in Barcelona. Well, many people had queued for hours to ensure they could cast their ballot despite the government in Madrid banning the poll.
The crackdown from Madrid has been severe, with police taking over polling booths, removing ballot boxes, and preventing people from exercising their democratic right.
Spanish national police in riot gear battered their way into one voting center after another, tossing peaceful voters downstairs, striking them with batons, and, as promised, confiscating ballot boxes. They did not discriminate by gender or age, advancing on those peacefully protecting the polls, sometimes retreating and sometimes clashing verbally with Catalonia's local Mossos police, apparently over the use of force.
What they just did, that is a crime. They stole materials, they violated human rights, they were, you know, they injured people. That is a crime.
But why the harsh response from the Spanish government? Well, it's because they do not support this current referendum, and in fact they claim it is illegal. The government of Spain opposes any Catalan self-determination referendum because the Spanish constitution does not allow for a vote on the independence of any Spanish region while also deeming it illegal without its consent, of which they have not given.
It's an anti-constitutional, anti-democratic and, most importantly, against the spirit of good living. It's disrupted every plan of the Catalonian regional government. Before today, it has been an event which had no guarantees of being democratic. People promoting it did not respect any parliamentary rules to make it look like it was legal, was absolutely suspended. The way they did it shows that they lost their right when they didn't think the same as the independentists.
The referendum was called by the Catalan Parliament in June, along with a law which states that independence would be binding with a simple majority without requiring a minimum turnout. Catalan has been building up to this vote for years, with a strong independence movement in the region. Catalonia is an area in northeast Spain which has a population of 7.5 million people. The area accounts for 15% of Spain's population and 20% of its economic output, which makes it very valuable to Spain economically. Catalan autonomy has been a recurring theme throughout the country's history. In 1931, when Spain became a republic, Catalonia was given greater political autonomy within the confines of the state. However, within a decade following the Spanish Civil War, the region's autonomy was revoked by the military government of Francisco Franco. During Franco's rule from 1939 to 1975, Catalan culture was heavily suppressed, symbols of Catalan's identity were prohibited, and parents were forced to choose Spanish names for their children. However, a push for full independence has gathered pace in recent years, most notably since Spain's 2008 debt crisis. Pro-independence supporters claim Catalonia, which is one of Spain's wealthiest regions, offers more financial support to Spain than it receives from the central government in Madrid. Many view the region's strong economy as an indicator that it will be viable as a sovereign state. About 1.6 million people live in Barcelona, Catalonia's capital, which is a major tourist destination. Today's vote is the region's second referendum on independence in 3 years, but as it is not supported by Madrid, will not be successful. However, the independence movement will not die down and will no doubt use the response from the Spanish state as ammunition to further their cause. This referendum is definitely a flashpoint for Catalonia's independence, and the fallout will no doubt be severe, with the scenes on the streets of Barcelona resonating in people's minds for a while yet. The Spanish government may want this to die down, but you can rest assured it will not. Sam Smith reporting for 95BFM.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/BCasts.